live from Augusta, Georgia on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
You know that music. It's not exactly the same music. I don't think we're allowed to legally do that, but it's our rendition of it.
Slight change.
Can I even say a tradition unlike any other on the radio? I did anyway. It's the Masters. It's Masters Week. JJ and Alex continues right now. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. It's Masters Week, and I'm fired up for it. We're excited about it, and we're going to talk to somebody who knows the Masters better than anybody. The Masters is the cut right now at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You hear him and Bob Casper on Real Golf Radio every Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the KSL Sports Zone. Nobody knows golf better than these guys. It's a pleasure to have him on. Brian Taylor joins us. Are you in Augusta right now?
Right now. You got it. How are you
guys?
We
are so jealous.
It's, you know what, it's one of those places that I hope every golf fan gets a chance to visit at some point in time, because it delivers. It does not disappoint, even with all the hype going into it. It still delivers. So, yeah, it's been a good week so far. I think the best of the weather has probably come behind us, at least for the next 24 hours. It's going to be a little bit rainy and windy for the next 12, and we're hoping – we can get some play in tomorrow, but looking at this storm, I'm thinking it's going to be a late start tomorrow, unfortunately.
So how far? That's what I was going to ask, Brian. On the weather, how far back would it push the start and the tee times, do you think, with this weather?
Yeah. So what's cool about Thursday morning is the honorary starters. You know, Nicklaus and Player and Watson will be out there about 7:30, 7:45, and then the first tee times at 8 o'clock. But it's supposed to start raining and blowing here at about 11 o'clock tonight through 11 o'clock tomorrow. So my guess is after that, I think it clears up. So it's possible. None of this is official yet, but I think it might be likely that we'd see an afternoon, maybe a 1 o'clock 2-tee start. So send them off 10 and 1. That happened in 2005, actually the year I caddied for Billy Casper in his final round. We went off 10 because of that same scenario. I think we went off at like 1:30. In the afternoon. And so the nice thing is Friday, Saturday, Sunday all look terrific weather out here, and so it won't be a problem to get the play in, but it will mess, I think, with the start of the round tomorrow.
Even it's hard enough as it is to play Augusta, and the weather could make it a lot trickier. And there was a funny exchange this week with the reporter and Brooks Koepka that I want to share real quick and get your reaction from. The reporter asked him, if under softer or optimal scoring conditions, do you think 59 is attainable on this golf course? And Koepka goes, "Have you played here?" It was so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, 59, come on. Just explain how hard it is to play on that course.
Yeah, so that we were in that press conference, and that same guy was asking everybody that question. He must be writing a story. He must have some sort of angle. You know how they get on that. But Brooks Koepka is one of those. He's a bit of a wild card. If you're going to come at him with something like that, you better be ready for a kind of a smart aleck response like that. So, so it was also the chairman, Fred Ridley, shared in his message today that after the dinner last night, Dustin Johnson came up to him and he said, "I think my 20 under is safe." And they said, and Fred Ridley said, "As long as we don't have another November Masters," because, you know, the context of the question was, well, what if you were to host another event here, like a ladies professional event or something like that at some point? And he just said he was kind of explaining the difficulty and how the golf course doesn't play in the conditions that they want it for championship other than kind of this time of year. So he was talking about that scoring. So to that point, 59, I mean, the low tournament round is a 63. And so that's been shot a few times. Interestingly enough, and I actually did a little bit of research on this coming into it, there's only two guys that really have any kind of individual records around scoring that have gone on to win, and that's Jordan Spieth and Gary Player that had individual low rounds at the Masters. Everybody else, Nick Price and Greg Norman, both shot 63. never got a green jacket. Miller Barber, Jay Haas, Jason Day, Hell Irwin, Norman Toms, Rory, they're among those that have shot 64s that haven't won. And so is a 59 out there? I don't think so in competition the way they set this golf course up. But even so, what history would suggest is it's not really one of those courses where a low round gets it done for you. You need some consistent good rounds in order to slip on a green jacket.
I've got to ask you to dig into that research a little bit more. The Ricky Fowler won the par 3 contest today. Is that a good thing to win the par 3, and does it lead to the green jacket, or is it a curse?
Yeah, I mean, the curse is unbeaten at this point, right? So I first thing I saw when he posted 5 under, I said, what is Ricky doing? I was actually just doing some research on Ricky, saying, you know, should we be talking about him? You know, Ricky missed the cut wasn't in the tournament the last couple of years because of his play had struggled and his world ranking and so forth. But, you know, he's back in. Take that away. He's had some really good finishes here, and actually he's a really good ball striker, decent putter, and has had, like I said, he's done well. So I was saying, should we be talking more about Ricky Fowler, even though he's missed the last couple? And then he goes and posts the number up there. And here's the way it works in the par three, because of the curse, anyone who feels like they have a significant chance, that, you know, typically in a golf tournament, once someone posts a number, that's the number they're going to shoot for, that they want to best. In the par three contest, that's the number they want to make sure they don't get to, right, and stay on the other side of it. So you saw, who was it, Gary Woodland, I think, that made a hole-in-one, and he was at, I think, got to 5, and the next hole, he literally hit it in the water. And it looked like it was intentional. So so Ricky kind of set himself up for that one, and I'm like, what are you doing, Ricky? So, yeah, I mean, you could probably take him out of the equation at this point in time, given the curse and the history there of the par three winners. But you know what? It was good to see Ricky holding up anything, even if it was just crystal and not a tournament trophy. It was good to see him holding up some win there. I mean, he could use it, and certainly we'd love to see Ricky play well this week.
I know you and Bob had a chance to catch up with Tony Finau this week. You guys are close with him, and we're biased here. We're all cheering for Tony. We all want him to win this tournament. We all want him to win every tournament. You've spoken to him. What are his chances this weekend? What does he got to do to break through?
You know, I think he's got to hit a few more greens. As I've been looking at it, his putting stats are actually decent here. In fact, they're a little bit better than Scottie Scheffler's, but further research would show that he's hitting about 2 less greens per round than Scottie Scheffler. And so I wouldn't have thought that. Tony's such a good ball striker. That kind of took me a little bit by surprise. I would have just gone straight to the putter. But his putting stats are actually above average around here. I think around 28 putts per round. But he's missing a couple of greens more than, like I said, than a guy like a Scottie who's won here. And so putting yourself in right position. Now, one of the things that could be, and Tony said this to us yesterday, and the rain's going to affect this, but he said the golf course is so firm right now. He said he hasn't felt that, and other players have echoed that as well, that they haven't felt it be that firm in years. And I said, is that good for you? And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, I would much rather see the ball bounce and run away from me than to spin back towards me. And I thought that was a really interesting comment, because if you think about Augusta National, if it's spinning back towards you, it's usually falling off a false front and running down the fairway, or falling off a false front and going into a pond or Ray's Creek or something like that. And so very rarely is the situation where it hops up and goes over the green and causes you the problem, right? So with this rain coming in, that will probably soften it up enough to where it might take some of that firmness out of the golf course that are enjoying right now. Nevertheless, I think Tony, he said to us on the show on Saturday, he said, I'm just going there to take care of business. And I thought that was pretty interesting. It felt a little bit, you know, aggressive of language to use typically for a golfer who would just be like, well, I'm just going to, you know, try to hit fairways one shot at a time, yah, blah, blah. He goes, I'm going to go take care of business. So I love to hear that, love the confidence, and I'd love to see Tony get it done. He's got 3 top tens in the 5 April Masters that he's played. And so he certainly has the game to be able to win here. And I know this is the one he would desperately like to win of all of them.
Before we cut you loose, Brian, I want to get your pick. This is the last day before the tournament starts that we can do this with you. Who's going to win this, and why is it Scottie Scheffler?
And why is it?
I'm kidding.
Nice leading questions. Yeah,
who do you like?
I mean, you can't not like Scheffler. I mean, the guy is world number one by a long ways right now, and having won the back-to-back wins at Bay Hill and the Players, coming up just a stroke short in Houston, won this thing 2 years ago. All things point to, you know, Scotty Scheffler, except for the fact that only three men have won back-to-back green jackets. And so it's a tough thing to do. If it's not him, I kind of like Xander Schauffele. Xander's got the resume to win. He's yet to win a major championship. He's right there on the average number of attempts. He's played six Masters. The average number of attempts before your first win, six. You know, he's right there. He's tied for second back in 2019. Top 10 in three of the last 5 years, similar to Tony. And this is a guy that's, you know, he's won a gold medal. He's got all the tools. And I like his game. It would be hard to believe right now that he wouldn't be in contention. So if you're looking for somebody outside of Scheffler, go with Schauffele and enjoy saying both of those back-to-back.
There you go. What a great primer for the Masters that begins tomorrow. We'll get through that tough weather and be patient with that, and hopefully have a great weekend of golf. Brian, you'll be back here on Friday with us. We look forward to actually breaking down what's happening live in the tournament. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Brian.
Can't wait. Always enjoy it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays on the KSL Sports Zone. We're privileged to be able to have them here on the zone and be able to talk to them. You're not going to find
on the ground
better expert coverage, guys that know the game so well that have been there year after year after year. So it's a pleasure to have Brian and Bob. We'll have Bob on tomorrow here on JJ and Alex, so we look forward to that. Masters, real quick, who's your pick? We got to make our picks right now before we get back into some Coyotes talk.
I'll go with Tony. I mean, hearing that preview from Brian, I'll go with Tony Finau.
My heart says Tony. My brain says Scheffler, because he's the best player in the world right now. But I'm going to say Schauffele too. I just think it's just too obvious for it. Just he's ready to break through and do that. And he just gave a really good idea there. He's playing really well right now, and just. It's so hard with the pressure on the world number one to go in there and do it. So I'll go – I'll Scotty Scheffler's too easy. I can't do that, so I'm going to go Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
But let's hope Tony makes it happen. That would be just an unbelievable story. I love Tony, and he's great, and we all pull for him. It'd be great to see him win one finally.
It would be awesome. Because I think just winning a Masters, like you get reminded of their legendary status year after year. Seeing the Champions Dinner last night with Jon Rahm. Oh, there's Mike Weir. Like it just the memories just flood back. You think of all those champions, like you just remember these. It's the one golf tournament to where you just remember vividly all these like final rounds, those Sundays at the Masters. It's just it's legendary stuff.
And Mike Weir, to your point, could have won four other majors, and the fact that he won the Masters has made him a golf immortal. Like everybody in golf knows who he is because he has a green jacket.
Yeah, O'Meara when he battled with Tiger. I mean, just. You remember these Masters champions. They go to legendary status. And for Finau, if he could get that, that would be just epic stuff.
There you go. All right, let's dig back into this NHL hockey talk before the break. It's interesting. We mentioned, reported earlier that from the ESPN report that things are in the works. There's also the other report, Saravalli, who's been on the radio today with Hans and Scotty. We played some of that for you. His report, it just feels inevitable, Mitch, that this is going to happen. All signs are pointing to this, that there's efforts being made. I'll read the Daily Faceoff report real quick to reset that the NHL and Arizona Coyotes and Smith Entertainment Group, which is Ryan and Ashley Smith here in Utah, have made significant and meaningful progress on an agreement that would see the Coyotes franchise sold and relocated to Salt Lake City, Utah. The machinations of the potential deal, which would have a renamed and rebranded franchise playing in Salt Lake in October, are mentioned in his story, and that's where this is going right now. It's not a done deal, as obviously he says the lawyers have got to get involved in this. As you imagine, selling a NHL franchise can't be quick and easy, but the fact is they're working on it essentially right now. It's in the works. Crazy news. It's starting to seep in that this is actually happening. And at this point, if it didn't happen that way, it would be a shock.
Yeah.
And nothing's working out for the Coyotes. Their land deal's not working. I mean, there's the opposition to their land deal. The Scottsdale mayor backtracked his statements a little bit. He had some harsh statement a couple days ago about the Coyotes moving near Scottsdale, which is where he's the mayor, and some of the issues that they had there. The point being is it's not easy for the Coyotes now to make this land deal happen. It's going to take years. And I don't think the NHL has years, and that's why this is moving in this direction. The NHL has a owner waiting with the amount of money they need, $1.3 billion. $1 billion would go to the, well, so here's what would happen is the NHL would buy the franchise for $1 billion from Alex Marullo, the owner of the Arizona Coyotes. They would then sell the franchise to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group for $1.3 billion, with $300 million of that money going to the league's owners. It would be distributed around the league. So it's ready in place. It solves the NHL's problem. They get rid of the Coyote problem. Utah gets its NHL franchise, and then the door opens for the Coyotes to get something done with an additional $1 billion to do it with, to get an expansion franchise down the road and figure out how to get something that works in Phoenix long term. Because what they have right now is not working. They don't have – this is 5 years down the road before they'd even have an arena ready.
Well,
you can't continue to play in Mullet Arena, which is the greatest name of any hockey arena I've ever heard, in a 4,800-seat arena for again and again and again, years and years and years.
The best-case scenario for the Coyotes in Phoenix is to have a new arena at the earliest 2027, but that's best-case scenario. I mean, and that's still 3 years away. You know, so it seems like the Coyotes just – they have no recourse at this point. It feels like it's coming to Salt Lake.
Yeah. And someone needs to tell their social media team down there.
That they do.
Because they aren't giving up hope. And every time something comes out that's new about this relocation situation, they share something that tries to confirm that there's a commitment to keeping Coyotes hockey in the desert. Jeremy, you got the latest thing that they posted? Do you want to play?
Nothing about hockey in Arizona is easy. We're used to taking the hard road in the desert. Nothing is given. Everything is earned. And the detractors, well, we tune them out. Grit for grit, shoulder to shoulder, with all eyes on a promising horizon. This is Coyotes hockey, and we play the hard way.
How much did they pay for that?
What
a waste of money.
It's some good voice work, but it's...
It's a video, right? I haven't looked at it
yet. Yeah, there's like a lot of throwback clips.
Okay. So they put some production time into this video. They paid somebody to track it.
Showing some locals a welcome to Arizona sign.
To basically tell everybody that whoever is in charge of this video or putting it out, whether it's Marullo or whoever, which wouldn't make any sense at this point, that they're going to stick their head in the sand and ignore everything that's going on right now and believe that the Coyotes are staying in Utah.
Everyone's just basically...
They're staying in Arizona?
Everyone's replying to the post and saying, hey, old takes exposed. Get ready for this one.
There is a...
file this one away.
So within the video, if you haven't seen it, they like... Mitch is right. They show little clips. There's one I just paused it now. It's a smaller picture, a video of, like, the era going to Salt Lake City next year.
So they're acknowledging on their social media in this video the relocation effort, but pretending that there's nothing to it and that they remain committed to keeping hockey in Arizona while a deal's being negotiated to move the franchise to Utah.
The most riveting thing about the video is I never realized Jeremy Roenick was a – was a Coyote.
Oh, you don't remember that?
I don't remember that. He had a bloody mouth in the clip. Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a long list of hockey greats that have played for the Coyotes, but he was one of them.
We'll adopt Jeremy Roenick here in Salt Lake.
We got to come in and we got to honor the all-time greats in the franchise history. That brings up an awkward situation. Is how is the new franchise going to handle that? Do we treat it kind of like a Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens situation where you just leave all the Coyotes' history there until they get their stuff figured out and then you just kind of start fresh here? I think that's the most appropriate thing to do because, look, we're doing some tongue-in-cheek stuff here. We're kind of poking fun a little bit, but I do feel for Arizona Coyotes fans who pay, season ticket holders who live and die by this team and have had to deal with ownership that's not willing to pay players to be competitive. And you've suffered for 20-plus years there, not knowing if your team's going to be around and not making the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's been a long, rough road, like they say in that video, for this franchise. But it's self-inflicted by the franchise itself. And if you're a hockey fan there, you feel like you've been punished for something that's out of your control. And now you're going to have the team taken away from you?
Yeah.
At least temporarily, possibly permanently. I don't feel good about that. And we talked to Jay Stevens earlier, and one of the things he wanted to share about his interactions with Ryan Smith is Ryan Smith's not happy about that. That's not what he wanted when he initially started this. He wanted an expansion team. But the league has this problem, and Ryan Smith is in a position to bring NHL hockey here. He's not going to turn it down.
No, and nor should he. And I think you're right, though. I think that they should be more the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens history move, because remember the Browns, 95, they go to Baltimore with the Ravens, but the history when the Browns came back for the expansion team in 99, they maintained their history. You don't want it to be like the Seattle Sonics, Oklahoma City Thunder, yeah, where the Thunder still acknowledge the Sonics' history. I don't like that. I've never liked that at all. So I would say just clean slate. Let Phoenix keep the Coyotes' history and all that if they do get expansion team. Again, assuming they come here to Salt Lake, that would be preferred, I think.
And leave the records, leave yes, everything behind, starts fresh and new, as if you had an expansion
yes,
team, but you are bringing the personnel, the draft picks, the actual franchise itself, but just completely rebrand and move forward as if it was an expansion team in the sense of a new brand, not adopting anything from there, because I do want to see that stay there, because it does mean a lot to those to the fans in Arizona. I hate it when you bring it up, like the Carolina Hurricanes, if they wear Hartford Whalers throwbacks.
Yes.
It's like, come on, that's so insulting to the people in Hartford who had their heart ripped out from them, and they're never going to get a team back. It's same thing with, for a long time with Winnipeg, right? And all these teams in the NHL, and then you look at some of the other sports too. Just start fresh and new. Don't do the thing that the Tennessee Titans do, where they've kept all the Oilers past. They throw the – Jeremy knows. He's talking. He feels the pain. Seeing the Tennessee Titans play in Houston Oilers uniforms,
yeah,
what an insult to Houston.
Don't like that at all.
So, yeah, just cut it free and start brand new, fresh. It's exciting, though. This is such exciting news. It's exciting for everybody. And, look, you need to be able to watch – the Arizona Coyotes, whatever they're going to be here. Let me backtrack. You need to watch the new Utah NHL franchise,
yes,
which we hope is called the Utah Yeti.
And Alex, with the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
They're very enthused about the possibility of getting an NHL team. They made it clear they'd like one. The governmental leaders in Utah have expressed to us a similar level of enthusiasm.
That was Gary Bettman back during the All-Star break. Back then, talking about the desire for Ryan Smith and Smith Entertainment Group to bring an NHL franchise to Utah. I'm sure Gary Bettman knew more than the cards he was showing at All-Star break. He's been trying to get this situation in Arizona resolved, but it's clear at this point there's not a resolution that would put Arizona in a NHL-sized arena next season or beyond, potentially 5 to 10 years down the road is the best-case scenario, and that's not good enough. So we've been sharing all day that there are reports out there that the NHL and the Coyotes are working on an agreement to sell and relocate the franchise to Salt Lake City, and that'd be starting this October. It's crazy. It's surreal that we're on the precipice of getting an NHL team in Utah. But it is definitely looking to be that way. There's a lot of things that are working in that direction. It's not final yet. A sale has not happened. But details are being worked out, and progress is being made in that area, according to the report from Daily Faceoff, is the Coyotes, the NHL, and the Smith Entertainment Group have made significant and meaningful progress on an agreement that would see the Coyotes franchise sold and relocated to Salt Lake City, Utah. So, Mitch, it's real. It's at this point, it just seems like the train is on its way.
Yeah, it does seem like that, and it's exciting. I mean, to get a potential franchise in the top four professional leagues in the NHL, that's big time. And it's also, I think what's so fascinating about this story, beyond the fact that it's, professional franchise. It's the highest level of a respective sport, but
yeah.
It's just, I think it signals also how much Salt Lake, this market, I mean, you become a multi-professional sports town, that's just big time. And I think it just puts you in another stratosphere of how you're viewed nationally. I mean, you just think about the dynamics of the sports fan in this market, always fighting for respect, always looking to prove the man. Like, this market, these teams, they are in the upper tier of any league that it is, whether it's the Jazz, the BYU, RSL, like Utah. I mean, always looking to prove folks wrong. And, I mean, this market is showing, like, this is big time. You've got the NBA, potentially the NHL. You got MLS. You got Big 12 football and basketball and athletics. I mean, it's a big-time sports market. I just think it just signals the real potential and even bigger picture of Big League Utah and their efforts on the baseball side. I mean, this is a big market when it comes to sports. It's one of the best in the country, potentially.
So now the realization that this could be happening, and it's imminent, what kind of team would we be getting? It's one thing. We're going to get an NHL team. Okay, great. Who are these guys? Who are the players? Who's the coach? Who's the general manager? What's their current situation? Obviously, they're not making the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, so this is not a playoff team that's coming here, but could be. Frank Cervalli, who had this report and broke this news and has been leading the way here this week on this situation on Daily Faceoff, he was with Hanson Scotty. Today, you're going to actually hear that full interview coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going to replay that interview. It's just his information is too important with this story. We want to make sure you get the full context coming up at 5 o'clock. But let's hear a little bit of that, and he talks about what kind of team that Utah will be getting.
I think the Coyotes are really uniquely positioned, whereas instead of wanting to start from scratch with an expansion team, if I were in Ryan Smith's shoes, I'd much rather start with the Coyotes. You've got building blocks of good players. You've got some fantastic prospects. You've got an arsenal of draft picks to deal from. And you've got a team that, at least this season until January, showed a ton of compete and fight. So I think they're on their way. They've got a long way to go. But if you're starting with an expansion team and just park the Vegas Golden Knights and what they were able to accomplish getting to the Stanley Cup final their first season, this is a much better scenario to be in. In this case, I think this Coyotes team, it could be really good in a 2 to 3 window period of time.
Sounds familiar. The Jazz are in this same situation. Not good enough to make the playoffs right now, but a stockpile of draft picks, good young players, cap room, a lot of opportunities to get better quickly or to continue on your developmental pattern and to continue to use those draft picks to get better. So there's kind of a mirror here with what these franchises would be on the similar timeline, which I think would be really fascinating and fun to watch. These two franchises develop, they're going to be playing in the same building under the same ownership, and then at some point could be good at the same time.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is. And, you know, looking at the Coyotes roster and kind of getting – really, I think what's also interesting about this too is this is a market I think that you can swarm in and really take this market and they turn instantly into fans. I think where a lot of people probably in this market have never associated with an NHL team. They're ready to adopt a team, and that's now going to be their squad. And learning kind of all the intricacies and the roster construction and the building of a team, like learning from Jay Stevens in hour one, which I highly recommend, go listen to that podcast with the Utah Puck Report, explaining, you know, a $4 million goalie. $4 million is like the NBA, like that's like
no big deal.
You know, but that's a big deal in the NHL.
Rookies make more. Late first-round draft picks make more than
that. But the Coyotes, looking at their roster, they had one all-star this year, their goalie, Clayton Keller, and he's only 25, and whatever sport it is, you get into that age range, you're starting to get into the peak of your career. But you know, it's a young team that can build up, and I think what will be interesting too is, you know, I'm not sure exactly Ryan Smith's extensive background in hockey. I'm sure he's done his due diligence to know everything about hockey. But arming this franchise with top of the line hockey people that know the ins and outs of this league and sport, I think, got to be critical. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some sort of whatever turnover and change it could be, but it seems like this is a franchise. It's got a lot of potential and upside. It's just now having that ownership and the vision to really have the runway to go win at the highest levels.
Yeah, I think that their GM is highly respected. I think they have a head coach that's established a culture there, and they've got some really good young players and picks. The only thing that's missing right now is the money. They need the ownership to back this franchise. They need the ownership to pay players. They need an ownership that wants to win Stanley Cup titles and not just do whatever the Coyotes have done down there for the last 20 years, which has just been a scuttle. So this is awesome news. It's exciting news. I think that this is probably, I agree, would be better than getting an expansion team because you already have an established culture and framework to be ready to go.
And the expansion teams in the NHL have done well recently, the Kraken and the Golden Knights, but this seems like a great situation for Salt Lake to get an NHL team that has, you know, some continuity with the roster, these players, if you know, depending on how that all shakes out and everything. But I think that it's a really good setup, and I think that it could be something pretty special for, you know, Salt Lake and really turning this thing into success in the near future.
So Frank Saravalli, you just heard him here. You're going to hear that entire interview with Frank Saravalli from Scotty and Hans. We'll replay that in the 5 o'clock hour, right, coming up at 5:05. So stand by for that. Some great information and background and understanding. And he spells out exactly what he's reporting here, that the NHL Arizona Coyotes are working on an agreement to sell and relocate to Salt Lake City. It's not a done deal, but the machinations, the working on is currently taking place, and we know how that is with lawyers. There's a lot of things that have to be done to make that happen, but it's pretty obvious. This is happening. Get ready, Utah. It's not for sure yet, but the NHL is very, very likely, more likely than ever, on its way to Utah.
Well, and I think it's also noteworthy, too, that you know these reports come out, and the NHL could come out clearly and say, this is completely inaccurate.
Alex Marullo could say these things are inaccurate.
there's just no comment.
Yeah.
It's saying something without saying something.
Like, yes.
If it's just a complete out in left field, where did you get this? Yeah, you come out and just say this is a bold-faced lie. Well, what are you reporting on? Like, no, the NHL was reached out for comment, no comment.
Yep.
And no one will comment on the record to deny these reports. And I think that's significant in all this, too, that these reports from an independent reporter who's not affiliated with the NHL, he's doing his job as a guy that's inside the league and covering it at a high level. He's getting this scoop, and no one's really denying this.
April 18th could be the day that we hear something concrete and official on this situation. We will stay tuned for that. It is Masters Week, and as with Masters Week, we're having some fun. We got a giveaway. Be caller 12 right now at 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. You'll be assigned one of the top 26 golfers or the field in the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway from Uinta Golf. If your player wins, you win your player's brand of driver, and that's not going to be cheap. So that's a great prize we have to offer. Again, right now, call 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663 to qualify for the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. All right, we take a break from the hockey talk for a minute with a Utah Spring Football Update coming up next on JJ and Alex. Live from the Dish Pros on 97.5, the KSL Sport.
And now your Ute Spring Football Update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
That's right, it's Utah Football Spring Update. But first, be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE to win a pair of tickets to see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 3rd, 2024. That's right, we're giving away tickets right now. Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 3rd, 2024. All right, let's dig into some sound. We got fresh sound from Kyle Whittingham. Now, Utah's pretty stacked at quarterback right now. So, Mitch, you've been doing a lot of homework. You're breaking it down. You're getting ready for the next Big 12 power polls to be coming out soon. I got to get you my
yes.
picks. But you've studied Utah pretty well, and they look pretty good at quarterback right now. But you could always use an extra one in the portal, right? So Kyle Whittingham was asked if there's a chance that they might need to get a quarterback in the portal after spring football.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll evaluate spring in its entirety once it's over with. Portal opens, next Tuesday? It's very possible that we may be in the market, but maybe not. And so we'll just have to see what we think is best going forward once we have a chance to look at all the evaluations from the entire spring football.
Sounds like a wealthy brain surgeon who, will I go get another Mercedes-Benz? If I feel like it, if the mood strikes, then we'll go down to the dealership and I'll have my guys go get me one of those. And if we need to, though, I don't know if we need to because we're well stocked. I've got a lot of cars, and I don't know. We'll see.
It's a man that sounds like he went through a whole season of being asked, hey, is this guy going to play? Is he going to play? No, look, we're going to make sure we're fully stocked.
How quickly things change, right, from one year to another, where last year they had to dip. They went all the way down to Batari the Ferrari, speaking right. of cars. And this year, I don't think that's going to happen. But you never know, so he might have to go out there and go to quarterback.
And also, too, you never know what goes through the thought process of these players. You know? Because you might think that, Brandon Rose is content with his spot, and then who knows? Does he want to go into the portal? Like, you just never know. You never know with what happens. I mean, so many times these coaches, they get blindsided suddenly by these moves with these transfer portal windows where you could get to the final day of the window and – some guy just wants to enter the portal. I remember it last year with BYU and Cody Epps. I was like, what? That just happens. So you always have to be on guard. If he can make your football team better to get another quarterback, absolutely you do that. I mean, because at the end of the day, like, Cam Rising's got an injury history, and you've got to, one, think about this year to be best armed to go in and step in and win the Big 12, but two, long-term as well. So if you can have a guy that can contend for the job and push an Isaac Wilson in 2025, it's a smart messaging by Kyle Whittingham to say we are always open for business because that position is so critical. It rewrites narratives. It defines programs having stability at the quarterback spot. And they've got, what, five quarterbacks right now with Cameron.
They used five last year.
Exactly.
Get ready, McLeod Croton. You never know. Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That would be wild to see a McLeod Croton playing for Utah.
But you never know.
Yeah, you do. You have to be ready. Andy Ludwig also would agree if Kyle Whittingham wants to go get a portal quarterback.
Kyle said that he might want to go after a transfer portal quarterback. Have you thought about that at all at this point?
Yes.
Would you watch one?
Yeah. If the head coach wants to do that, that's what we'll do.
I didn't expect that soundbite to be that funny, but if the boss says to go get a quarterback, we'll go get a quarterback. Good answer.
I respect that.
I do respect that. Absolutely. But Andy Ludwig went on to talking about being open to bringing in players who can help the offense.
For players, yeah. Anybody that has an opportunity to make an impact for the Utes right now, we're not really concerned about recruiting for depth out of the portal right now, but an impact player would be worth an evaluation.
That's more interesting to me. Look, I think that the fact that they would be willing to go out and get a portal quarterback if they needed to just shows you that they're willing to do whatever they can to make this team better. And what was more important right now is if they can go find a difference maker in the portal that could really put them over the top in the Big 12, my goodness.
Well, and I just think that, man, what a spot to be in. I know that changing leagues is always tricky, and I know that, some minority of Ute fans probably don't want to be in the Big 12 or whatever, but there is a clear path. You win this league, you are in the playoff.
Yep.
And that's never been in front of Utah. I mean, even in the Pac-12, when you won it twice, you didn't get into the playoff. Like, you win this league, you are in. You're going to be playing for a national title.
Mitch, you're not only in, you're guaranteed a top four spot.
Right. And
the conference champions in the Power Four are guaranteed a top four spot and a bye.
There's so much on the line here. And
yes.
I think I feel like the playoff has always been that motivation for Witt to get and break through. And I think this 12-team playoff, despite the whole conference change, like that 12-team playoff structure poses a huge opportunity because you get into that, you get a top four seed, and maybe win a game. Just think about what that does for the brand recognition, for everything long-term, recruiting. There's so much that goes into that. So, yeah, you got to kind of put your chips all in, especially when you got a quarterback in Cam Rising who, on the low end, is a top four quarterback in this league. And could be the best quarterback because of the level of play that Utah is expected to play at this season.
If healthy, the Utes could make it happen. This is their best opportunity to do that.
And the schedule sets up great. I mean,
that's another
point.
They
should be – the Big 12 did them a huge favor avoiding the Kansas schools. Utah, you look at it, I just feel like they should probably be a touchdown favorite in all their at least home games. And I just think that it breaks nicely for how it sets up. And, look, there's going to be a team in this league that – comes out of left field and just shocks us, goes, where did that come from? Like West Virginia last year. But Utah's in a great spot, and I think that's – if you can go get an impact player, you got to go do it.